Good morning. It has been a great weekend. Thank you so much for inviting me over. I hope that the things that we've talked about have been helpful, have been encouraging. And so today, I'm going to be talking about what I call a Springfield report. But the reason that I've included here, like I said before, is that you're supporting me in that work now, so I want you to know what's going on over there. But the main reason is, here's some things we've done in evangelism. Here's how we've tried to reach out to the community. These things worked. These things didn't work. And so I hope that this will be helpful and encouraging as you look at reaching out in the community and trying to find ways to make contacts. Before I jump into the beginning of the report, hey, I got a good idea. Steve, would you lead us in prayer?
Great Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us together today. Thank you for the good news that you have shared with each of us. Jesus Christ, through the apostles and prophets, and through those who were willing to tell us the story. Bless us as we continue to consider how to share that story with others. Bless our efforts to do so. Pray for growth of faith in all of us and in those we share the message. In Jesus' name.
Amen. So before we jump into the report, let me tell you why I'm going to be presenting what I'm presenting. When we moved to Springfield, there was no church there, as you all are aware. No faithful church that we were aware of. And so we started out, Penny and I made the decision, we're going to go to Springfield. We called people, 20 years ago, we wanted to start a church in Springfield. 15 years ago, whatever it was, time flies by. And we reached out to people we knew who had grown up with a conservative background, and nobody was willing. So we laid it aside. And so we finally made the decision in 2014 that we were moving there in 2015, whether anybody wanted to come help us or not. And so Penny and I were just going to go there. As we made that decision, our youngest son was finishing up a training program, preacher training program in Rogers, Arkansas, and he called and asked, "Hey, Dad, would you like for me and Carrie," he was getting married at the same time as he's finishing up the program, "would you like for us to come help with the work in Springfield?" "No, I don't want you anywhere near it." "Yes, of course." So we got him support. We helped him line up support. And so it was the four of us. And then any of you know David Craig? David Craig was worshiping down in Pena, driving all the way from Springfield. And so he said that he would be happy to be a part of the startup. So five of us started the work in Springfield. Let me say this before we move into it, is that throughout the years, working with congregations, this is what still works today. Everything I'm going to tell you, you're going to say, "Well, why are you going to tell us all this if this is what works and this is what we should do?" I'm still going to tell you what works, what works today, and what we did. When you start out with five people, you've got a congregation here of what, roughly around 80 people? You've got a lot of people that can get excited about the Lord. You got a lot of people that have friends. You got a lot of people that have family. You got a lot of people that when you've got a good atmosphere, you've got to come visit. You got to see the congregation that we're part of and then talk to them about salvation. And when that gets going, you're going to have visitors pretty regularly. But when you've got five people in a new town that you've never lived in before, you don't have 80 people to draw from to start inviting people to services so that you can try to set up Bible studies with the visitors. And so what do? You got to get out and you got to shake the bushes and try to find some contact. So that's what I'm going to be presenting today. What will work today is the same thing that has worked for us when in Alney, we went from 80 up to 110 without spending one penny on advertising, without doing anything other than the members inviting people to services and us going out and having Bible studies with those visitors. We grew from 80 to 110. In St. James, Missouri, we grew from 80 to 110. I don't know why it happened, but that's what it was. And so we grew from 80 to 110 by the members inviting people to come to services, and we went out and we had Bible studies with them, and it still works today. But I'm going to show you things to do along with that. We'll put it that way. Okay, so just quickly, Springfield report. You all know where Springfield is, so when I go and give a report of the work to other states, they don't know very much about Springfield. The population has declined. The population has gone from 117, and I don't understand it. Being the utopian metropolis that Springfield is, people are leaving, and I don't get it, but we've gone from 117 down to about 115. In Sangamon County, there's about 200,000 people, and there was no faithful church there. And so so we decided that we'd go. You know where it's at, a couple hundred miles below Chicago, 100 miles north of St. Louis. And so you will not believe the difficulty, the things that you have to do behind the scenes to start a work. We almost got discouraged, not to quitting, don't misunderstand me, but it started getting to be discouraging. We could not find a community center that could guarantee us every Sunday. We could not find a hotel conference room that could guarantee us every Sunday. And you don't want to be moving around all over the place. The people won't know where to find you. And so we were looking for a house to buy and a place to worship. And we sat down in a restaurant one day. We've been doing all this online looking, going out and looking at houses to buy to live in. And we sit down and we do the old school realtor magazine. And this house was in there. It is 6 blocks below the Capitol building on the same street as the Capitol. So there are thousands of cars that drive by this house every day. So we went and looked at it. It was a lawyer's office. It was built in 1890. We put a new roof on it, 4 layers of shingles on a 12-12 pitch. Some of you know what that's all about. And so at any rate, built in 1890. And so we bought it and we decided that we'd just start the congregation there at that house. And so we were there, again, let me back up just a second. We were there from June 7th is when we had our first worship service, and we stayed there until October 23rd. I'll come back to why we left at that time. Again, it is just 6 blocks below the Capitol building. Our front yards are on the same street. And this was our first worship service. And so Colton and Carrie are the young couple in the front there. Penny's taking the picture, so she's not in it. The elderly man right behind Colton and Carrie is David Craig. The other man in the white shirt over to the side is our realtor. And so he promised that he would come to our first worship service. And over in the back corner, you can't see her, but there's a lady in the back corner, is Wilma Lambert. She had grown up in conservative works, and there was no conservative work in Springfield. And she came, David told her about it, or she heard about it in some way. And she came the first Sunday and she said, "I've been waiting years for this to happen." And so we didn't know it, but we were actually starting with 6 people, though we didn't know it. We thought we were starting with 5. And the young lady is Leanna Peaks. Is that her last name? Anna Lee Peaks. See, that's what I said. And so she's a sweet young lady, and she decided that she would come and be there on our opening service. So we had, 8 of us on our first worship service. So we stayed there until October. We got to the point that we were outgrowing the living room. If you count the seats there, we could seat 16, 17 people in the living room. And there was a foyer, you know how the old Victorian homes are, there's a foyer right beside it. And we started having overflow. We're having to put seats out in the foyer and to seat everyone on some Sundays, not every Sunday. So we decided we were going to go to a hotel room. We were going to go to the conference room at the hotel, and we're going to knock out that wall there, and we were going to combine those 2 rooms so we would have enough space for everyone. And so we went to the conference room down at the La Quinta Inn by the Walmart on the south side of town. And we started having a lot more visitors. And so we decided we're not going back to the house. And so we just stayed in the conference room. And so when we were making the move to the conference room, I sent out an appeal to brethren all around the Midwest. And we had 25 people come from various congregations and help us on that Saturday. We were doing a lot of Facebook advertising. We did a lot of Facebook work. I've been mad at Facebook. I broke up with them. And I decided, though, recently, I got to get back together. We've got to fix our difficulties and get back together, because I'll show you in a minute, we had great results with Facebook. So we did a lot of Facebook advertising while we've been in, and I've not done Facebook work in 3 years. Somebody stop the clock. Don't ring the bell. Here's the reason that I've been mad at Facebook. We've spent between $10,000 and $15,000 on Facebook. We have 2,500 followers, and the majority of those are people who live in Springfield. Probably only 400 or 500 are Christians in other congregations. The bulk of them are people who live in Springfield. We spent $10,000 to $15,000 building up that following, and then as everything's evolving, the algorithm says, we want you to have the best experience while you're on Facebook, and so we're only going to put things into your newsfeed that you like. If you don't click, you don't respond, you don't react, it's not coming back into your newsfeed. They put organic posts into 1-3% of your followers. And we spent $15,000 building up all of those followers. I understand what they're doing. So I'm not mad at them anymore. We're going to get back with it. But we did a lot of work on Facebook, advertising our move to the hotel room. 25 people came to help us. And on Saturday, in about a three-hour span, we handed out 2,000 invitations to the opening service at the conference room. And so... Our first worship service was on October 30th of 2016. I'll get to in just a second of why we moved from there. We moved from the conference room in December of 2017. So we were there for just a little bit over a year. And so we had been looking for a church building within all that time. We were putting some money aside for a down payment, and we had been looking at church buildings. And I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, but the building codes in Sangamon County and in Springfield, if you want to buy a building and convert it to a church building, don't even think about it. It was going to cost us $10,000. We were going to buy one building, and we had to get the bathroom up to code. It was going to cost us $10,000 for the blueprints, $2,000 for the preliminary blueprints just to present to the town, just to be able to say, will you allow us to build these bathrooms? So we ended up, we'd been looking at this church building, and there were some things that people didn't like about it, but we'd been looking at it. And so we ended up buying this church building. It's on Ash and Passfield. It's in a blue-collar neighborhood that has not deteriorated very much. It's still a decent neighborhood. And they were asking $100,000. Now, a lot of churches, when they disband, they will just simply donate their church building to another church. And so I contacted the people. And I said, we're a new group, we're a startup, we don't have very much money, would you take $50,000? And they were very generous, they came down to $98,000. And so we were not really crazy about it. There's no parking, it's street parking, it's got steps going up to it. It's old, it's an old man with arthritis. And so we just laid it aside. But we weren't finding anything, and all this stuff was coming up about transforming a building into a church building. So we had a men's meeting. We went back to talking about this, and we decided, okay, this is the bottom line. We will not pay more than $75,000 for this building. Our realtor presented it to their realtor, and their realtor had a talk with them, and they didn't even know what we were going to offer, and their realtor said they will not take anything less than $75,000. Boom. So we bought the church building. And so I told the brethren, the first thing that's going to happen when we buy this church building is that tree's going down. We closed at 3:30 on a Friday, I think it was. We closed at 3:30, and by 5 o'clock that evening, that tree was down. And so we cleaned it all up. We painted all those louvers. We painted the windows. It's like a pale. Raise your hand. Have you been to the Springfield congregation yet? Anybody been to the building? I hate to say this, but shame on you. Just kidding. But we painted it up. It looks very nice on the outside. Looks pretty good. And so When we stepped in the door, when we first looked at it, and when we first purchased it, this is what the auditorium looked like. They've got their spirit doves descending on the curtains. They had their drum set over on a little round stage over on this side and had their music stage over here. They left, it was the Lord of Harvest Worship Center, and they left us the anointing oil on the pulpit, and I forgot what else they left for us. And so we knew we had a lot of work to do. And so if this is standing at the back door, the front door of the building you saw and looking as you come into the auditorium, and you can see, look at the ugly carpet. It was a good carpet, good quality, but it was ugly. And so it was just all kind of ugly. This is standing at the other corner, so at the back. And you can see it's like Pontiac, how they have that overflow room on the side. And so we had the overflow room on the side, and we spent 4 months working on it. So we paid $75,000. We probably spent about $10,000 in remodel. And this is what it looks like today. And so we took that overflow room, we divided it into two classrooms because we got to thinking, we have young families come in here. The mother is not going to want her child, 5-year-old child, to go down into the dungeon of a basement of that church. But so if they're right there beside them, they'll feel more comfortable with it. And so we put two classrooms in there. This is standing up in that corner there, looking back on that perspective. And so we did a lot of work. And so we moved as a congregation into the building. We closed on it in November, early November or late October, early November, and we worked on it and we moved into it at the beginning of the year in January, but we kept working. We didn't have an opening service to the community until in April, and I'll come to that in just a moment. So now throughout the rest of the time that we have together, I'm going to talk to you about, okay, so what did you do? Five of you started the work. You've got nobody that has relationships. So what did you do to find Bible studies? Well, one of the first things that happened is Al Disselkamp had a very distant cousin that lived in Springfield, and he told me about them, gave me their address. Penny and I went out there, we visited them, and they were not Christians. And when we left their front porch, they said, this might just be an answer to our prayers. And so they came the next Sunday. They came back a little bit sporadic at the beginning, but soon were very very faithful in their attendance. I asked them for a Bible study just maybe a month after they had started attending. And Ken Hopper is his name. And he said, Ken, I don't like to be pushed. I respect that. So I waited for a while. They got engaged. What can we do to help with the work? Okay, what can they do to help with work? And so he is a master craftsman in woodworking. Everything he does, he's master in it. He said, can I build some coat racks, some coat hangers, you know, to put things up this while we're still now. So anyway, I asked them like 3 months later if they were interested in having Bible study. Well, we thought you'd never ask again. They were ready. We converted them in like 6 weeks of Bible study. So we've had one referral. We converted the couple from that. We have invite cards that we just give out everywhere. It's just a way of life for us. We carry them in our pockets. We go to Walmart and we hand the cashier an invite card. We go out for breakfast. Penny will say, Ken doesn't like to go for breakfast, hardly ever goes. But when we go, sarcasm, when we go, we leave a card. Just everywhere we go, we leave a card inviting people to services. And there's one lady that we didn't convert, but she was a waitress at IHOP and invited her to come to services or to a Bible study, asked her if she'd be interested in Bible study. And she looked at me and she said, I cannot believe that somebody cares enough about me to ask me to have a Bible study. She was caught up in meth, leading a very difficult life. And we just happened to find her at the right time. And she was coming out of it. She has adopted us as her mom and dad. She's moved to Decatur, and there's not a faithful church there, unfortunately. And so we haven't lost contact. We still have a Bible study once in a while with her. But at any rate, Invites work. You got 80 people. You can do a whole lot of inviting. We've done a lot of door-to-door work. Now, when we talk about evangelism, people say, yeah, you want us to do door-to-door work. Well, let me tell you, when you got five people, you got to do door-to-door work. But over the years, I've been preaching for 32, 33 years. We've been doing evangelism for about 40 years. In our door-to-door work, we have baptized about five people from our door-to-door work over the years, and we've restored a couple fallen Christians that we didn't even know lived in the community. So I look at it this way. I don't want to waste my time, but if I knock on doors the rest of my life and nobody else is converted, it's already paid for itself. So I'm going to keep knocking on doors. But Tony Werfel, you know, he came over and visited a few times when we were starting, and he went out with us some to do door-to-door work. And let me tell you about door-to-door work. I'm good. I'm looking at the clock. I'm talking to myself. Is that door-to-door work doesn't work, does it? Go ahead and shake your hand. No, it doesn't work. Isn't that how you feel about it? Door-to-door work doesn't work. And I agree with you. But I tell you what, I think we're doing door-to-door work wrongly. Because when do we do door-to-door work? We're going to have a gospel meeting. We print up flyers. And what churches have done in the past, we print up a black and white invite to the gospel meeting. And we use an old copy. I'm being facetious. We use an old copy machine that blurs it and everything. And then we go out and we hand people this. Would you like to come to our gospel meeting? And what do we get? Well, I attend over at the Corner Community Church. I attend at the Methodist Church, and I'm happy with. Well, thank you. People are usually polite, and hardly anybody ever comes. What they're hearing us say when we invite them to a gospel meeting, invite them to the church, what they're hearing us say is, we want you to leave your church and come to our church. That's what they're hearing. And so I decided, why are we doing all this? We're doing this because we hope they'll come to the gospel meeting. We hope after the gospel meeting, they'll be interested enough to come back on Sunday. We hope that they'll come back another Sunday after that, enough Sundays that we can then ask them for a Bible study. And I decided we're spending too much time with it. Let's go to people's door and ask them for a Bible study. Isn't that what we're looking for? And so I want to guarantee you that if I were to go out into Springfield tomorrow, I could get a Bible study. I could almost guarantee you, and when we would go out, and Tony can tell you, he's not here anymore, Tony could tell you, when a couple Sundays he went out with us Sunday afternoon, we'd pick up three and four Bible studies in a day doing door-to-door work. So I don't think, you know, taking flyers for gospel meetings is the most effective way to do door-to-door work. Ask them for a Bible study. Be loving, be kind, figure out a way to ask them, ask questions to get their interest, and then ask them if they're interested in Bible study. So not only did we do just going out asking for Bible studies, also, I'll come back to something. Well, the next slide, let's just go ahead and go there. But we decided that we would do a thing that we just called very uniquely Special Topic Sunday. And so with that, we decided we're going to go out and we're going to survey the community. And I've done other surveys besides this. We're going to survey the community. We came up with three topics. I always forget what they were. One was, are we living in the end times? Why are there so many churches? Can you help me, Penny? And why does God allow evil, suffering, and death? So we would ask the people, we'd knock on the door, we'd tell them where we're from, we've started a congregation. If you were to visit us on a Sunday, which of these three topics do you find most interesting? And so, you want to guess? I mean, we're in a class period here, so you can talk. Do you want to guess which topic that the community chose on those three? Are we living in the end times? And so that's what they picked. And so we did, and I'm going to show you later, the quality of all, any advertising we do, any flyers we do professional printing. It's got to be professional. We're living in 2023. The day of the copy machine is over with. We've got to do it professionally because there's just, our minds have been changed so much. And so we do quality door hangers, quality 4x6 cards. Now here's the kicker. So when they would tell us what topic that they chose, and everybody chose a topic, I would say, Well, if your topic is the one that is chosen, how would you like for us to contact you to let you know that yours has been chosen and which Sunday it's going to be preached? Would you like for us to come back by and leave a flyer? Would you like for us to drop you a text and let you know? And I forgot what the other option I would give them. And several of them would say, well, just drop back by and let us know when it's going to be. Several people gave us their phone number and their text so that we could text them when it was going to come up. And then with that, I would say, thank you so much. Let me ask you a favor. Would you mind that anytime we're doing a special event at the congregation, would you mind if I send you a text? You will not be spammed. You'll hardly ever hear from me. But would you let me send you a text whenever we're having any special events? Every one of them said yes. And so we did special topic Sundays. We've done 2, 3, or 4 of them so far. We had visitors come to them. And so this works. Just do the same thing. Look at, you've got 80 people. You know, I know that some are children and some are aged. You got several people here who can work. You get 30 people out on a Saturday going around the community asking which 3 of these topics would you like. You're going to cover a lot of ground. You're going to get a lot of phone numbers. It's going to work, brethren. You're in such a better shape than we are because of being a startup congregation. Now, I'll come to another one in just a moment that is using the same concept. But again, we did a lot of work with Facebook. And with Facebook, we would do just simply post back before they really got their advertising. Now, probably the best way to do it is to do it through Ad Manager. Anybody, raise your hand if you're familiar with Facebook Ad Manager. Okay, we got one. And so we would just boost posts, but now going through Ad Manager is the best way to do it. If you Google, if you YouTube, if you YouTube plan your visit, Facebook, we're going to start doing that. And just YouTube it, and you're going to see it's going to be a great way to get people to come to the services. I'd tell you about, we haven't done it yet. I'm kind of excited about it. That's how we're going to get back in. And so at any rate, so we did a lot of work on Facebook. I forgot to bring this up with me. Pardon me. All right. The majority of our visitors who've come from the community have been from Facebook. Now, we've done door-to-door work. There's a lady sitting in the services this morning over at Springfield who we converted from door-to-door work. We've converted several people from our Facebook work. Here's proof that it works. This is just from 2019 through 2023, and I quit doing Facebook work 3 years ago. And so from 2015 to 2018, when we did this moving to the hotel, moving to the building, we had more visitors than this. The other half of the stack is bigger than this half of visitors. Some of these are Christians. I didn't go through and separate them out. Some of these are Christians just passing through the area who came, filled out a visit card. Most of these are people from the community. The bigger stack from 2015 to 2018, mostly from the community. And so Facebook works. I wish they had been faithful and true in our relationship together, but I'm going back to them. I've forgiven them, going back to them. So Facebook has, in the first 3 years, 3.5 years, we had over 200 visitors from the community to our worship service. And way more than half of those were from Facebook. Now, when we have made moves, remember how I talked to you the first night about how we try to make events for the brethren to invite people to? Again, and I explained about how that there's a lot of excitement behind the events from the members. Anytime that we can have an event, we can turn something into an event, we do. And so, for instance, when we went to the conference room at the hotel from the building, we made an event out of it. And we did radio advertising. We'll come up to that in just a moment. We did Facebook work, and we did door-to-door work, as I was showing you the people who came to help us. And so this is the card that we created. And so the card is bigger than this. This is the card's a 3x5, and now you do 4x6 is pretty much the standard. I'll get back to this in just a moment. It's an invite card. But at any rate, so this is the quality. You know, it's the thick quality, the card, thick quality like this. And so we titled this event, Come and See. And so on the backside, we explained to the community what we were doing and why we were moving. And so let me just read it to you. You can read it better. You can see it better back there than I can see it. But hello, neighbor. Please allow us to introduce ourselves. We are a group of Christians who joined together a little over a year ago to worship and serve the Lord in the Springfield area. We have made it our aim to create a loving and worshipful atmosphere where God is honored and those attending are strengthened and encouraged. Let me say this. Don't use words that the community is not familiar with. We used strengthen instead of edified. You know, the young people joke around and they say it's Christianese language when we use words that the community is not familiar with. So we're very cognizant of that. We try to make it easy to understand. So we have been meeting in our home, but recently we find ourselves short on space. With that in mind, we are moving to the meeting room of the new La Quinta Inn located next to Walmart just off 6th Street. We are excited about our growth, our move, and all that God has been doing among us. I tell you, it's harder to read than what you see. It is with this same excitement that we invite you to our opening service October 30th. Please feel free to invite family, members, and friends to accompany you. You will be welcomed and in no way called upon or embarrassed. Hope to see you there. So, you know, we put a lot of thought into writing that. It wasn't a 30-minute ride. It took several hours to hone that down and to get it worded that way. And so we didn't have very many visitors from the community when we moved to the conference room, but I'll tell you about the move to the building in just a moment. So we've done that. We'd made an event out of moving to the building. We've had two song and prayer services. I will start running short on time, so I can't go into the detail about the song and prayer services, nobody raised their hands, so nobody here came to either of our annual song and prayer service. So we're going to have another one this spring, and so load up the vans, come on over. We invited people from all around the Midwest. Our group at that time was probably 18 people, and the first year we had 98 people come to our song and prayer service. The second year we had 110 people come to our song and prayer service. Both years, about 10 of the people were from the community. And so even though our main focus was to petition God and ask Him to be with us in our evangelistic work in Springfield, we turned that into an evangelistic event, and again had about 10 people come from the community. The only radio work we've done, and we spent probably $1,500 to $2,000 on that, is when we moved to the hotel room, and then we continued doing some advertisement. We didn't do a radio program. We just did radio advertisement. We had one fella come from the community to the move to the conference room, and so we did not count that as a win. That was not money well spent. It's only well spent in that we found out it doesn't work. And so everything else we've done, we've had visitors and we've converted people from everything that I've shown you this morning. We have converted people from, except for the radio. That's the only thing that we have not converted someone from. Another thing that we have done is small group studies of various types. I'm going to talk about meetup in just a second. The bulk of those small group studies were meetup studies, but then also as people would come and visit us, we would get them together in a small group Bible study, and so they would be free to invite others, and the members could invite others to it. But at any rate, small group studies they work. On all of those cards that I just showed you, almost every one of them, we've given them option of how we can assist them. And one of the options is, I'm interested in a small group Bible study. Almost everybody checks that. And so small group studies work. And the reason why, it's just like Kim that I said we converted from door-to-door work. She's a jokester. She has a lot of fun. And she says, you know, I came and I was afraid to come. I didn't know what I'd see. And I'd already made up my mind that the first snake they pulled out, I was out the door. And so, but that illustrates, you invite someone to come to church and they have no idea if there's going to be a fella up here in a robe and a white collar speaking Latin, I'm being facetious, or if somebody's going to be whipping around a rattlesnake. They have no idea what's going to go on. And you ask somebody, would you sit down and have a Bible study with me? That's intimidating. But a small group Bible study, that's far less intimidating. It's much more informal. And so, small group Bible studies is a good approach. It's not the only approach, but it's a good approach. Again, with that, we used Meetup. I cannot answer you. We have no idea why it has worked this way. But when Colton and Carrie came to help with the work as we first started it, they rented an apartment in Chatham, about 10 miles below Springfield. And in 1 year, they had 40 different people from the community come to their Meetup Bible study. Those are good numbers. Those are real good numbers. We were offering doing a Meetup study at our house, the blue house there. We got like 3 people in a year to come to it. Colton and Carrie moved up. They bought a house. They moved up to Springfield. They did Meetup. They did it for several weeks and had 1 person come. And so they quit. We have no idea why down in Chatham, there's just not that big a difference. Why in Chatham, 40 people came, and in Springfield, nobody will come. So you just have to experiment. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we did convert a fella from Meetup when we were in the conference room. Every Thursday night, we were putting up our study. A fella came, and we converted him, and his initial contact was from Meetup. And then we did the opening service. So again, we turned this into an event. We did a lot of advertising on Facebook, and are you ready? On April 22nd, Sunday, April 22nd, we had done Facebook work. We did door-to-door work. We called people who had been there before and invited them to come to our opening service. We did a lot of different things. Can't even remember them all. On that first Sunday, we had 25 people from the community come to that opening service. The next Sunday, it was 12 or 14 people came back the next Sunday. And so, turning things into an event and doing the work. Remember in Acts chapter 5, and they did not cease daily to teach in the temple and from house to house. It's a lot of work. People, I teach evangelism every year in our preacher training classes. If you're interested, it's July 8th. Or 10th, anywhere. It's on our website this coming year, and it's preachertrainingclasses.com. Check it out. And so you don't have to be a preacher. It's actually preachers and men's, preachers are different from men, but it's preachers and men's training classes. So it's preachertrainingclasses.com. And I teach personal evangelism there every year. And I know I have some of the same sentiments. What works? Tell me what works. What's the thing that I can do? There is no thing. There's nothing magical. It's work. If you want to know the secret to it, it's work. And so you got to be active. You got to get out there. You got to work. So we had 25 people, and then they followed up with that. So on the Friday right before, also on April 20th, we had that song and prayer service that I was speaking about. And so we sent out these cards. I know that you all got one. We sent them to the whole Midwest, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, Nebraska. And then we made personal calls to our friends in Alabama, different places. And so therefore we had 98 the first year and 110 the second year. But again, we turned this into an event. And so this one is the one we sent to congregations, and I didn't have one on file that I could pull up, but it was the same size, same look, but it had a different message on it, and it talked about the joy of worshiping God in song and such, and it was a different message. And again, we had 10 people each year show up for that. So as we had that opening service, we had talked about it. We thought, okay, how can we get the people to come back? You know, if anybody comes, we had no idea if anybody would even come to the opening service. And so we talked about what can we do? What can we offer to get them to come back the next week and to continue coming? And so we came up with the idea that we were going to do that next Sunday and then continue it if it was successful, that we were going to do Pick a Topic Sunday. Now, this is different. It's obviously different from Special Topic Sunday. But we did Pick a Topic Sunday. We had these cards. They're just a regular size business card. We had these cards made up. And so what we did with that, and we didn't even go door to door. All we did was used it in our everyday lives. And so, for instance, I would go to Lowe's and Menards to pick up something. I'd, you know, hey, need some assistance. Where can I find this? And, oh, by the way, what we're doing as a congregation is, you know, we preachers, we decide, you know, that the people need to hear this. They need to hear that. But what we're doing for the summer is we decided we're going to let the community pick our sermons. We want to know what you want to hear a sermon about. And so if you were to come visit us on a Sunday, what would you like to hear a sermon about? And would you believe that out of the many, and I don't know how many people that we talked to, maybe two or three didn't offer a suggestion. I don't know. They got excited. People get excited. I mean, 20 seconds. They stand there 10 seconds. I would like to hear, and you think, well, they're going to come up with some doozies on this one. Well, the first one that I asked, I pull into the car wash. I pull into the car wash. It is one of those that pull you through. I roll down the window real quick, and I tell the guy, hey, I'm Kim McDaniel with the Springfield Christians. We're doing Pick a Topic Sunday. If you were to visit us on a Sunday, I mean, my car's pulling into the car wash. If you were to visit us on a Sunday, what would you like to hear a lesson about? He said, I'd like to hear a lesson about the Bible. Okay. What do you have in mind with that? He says, you know, where did we get the Bible? Where did it come from? Boom. Guess what our first lesson was on Pick a Topic Sunday. And then we had people say, I'd like to hear a lesson. One gal said, how can you get along with people that are difficult to get along with? Would you like to know that? I mean, I told Colton, one picked abortion. Another pick, do we have to tithe today? Do we have to give tithes? Do we have to attend a church to please God? I told Colton, I said, they keep coming up with all these topics. We'll never go back to us picking them. We'll just be known as the Pick a Topic Sunday church. And so it worked out great. Now, I'm going to tell you, we never converted anyone from this, but what we would do is we would let the people, and then we would post on Facebook. This week's sermon comes from Sue, who wants to hear a lesson about, and then I just give a one or two paragraph write-up about, do we have to tithe today? And I wouldn't just spell it all out. It'd kind of be a teaser building up to coming here, you know? And so it worked great, those two together. We haven't done it since that first year, but we may go back to it. Then another thing that we did, and we did this a year ago, is Bible questions and answers. It was a local TV program. And so they gave us a great deal on it. They were charging us $500 a month for a weekly 30-minute program on Sunday morning at 7:30. And with that, they gave us how many, Penn? How many TV spots? We got a 10-second TV spot that they showed throughout all the local, not cable, the local stations. You know, it'll be on the next one, CW23. Out of Springfield. I mean, it was the regular stations, and they put us on all the stations, and we would get like 50 10-second spots a month of advertising. And so even if people didn't go to the TV program on Sunday morning, we're getting free advertising for the congregation. Well, not free, but along with it. And so we did that for a year. And what we would do, what would our process on that is we would promote our Bible correspondence course with that. And we'd get people signed up. We had several people that we did the correspondence course with. And with the TV program, we did it for a year and we stopped it. We put a billboard sign, interstate size billboard sign on Dirksen Avenue in Springfield. It cost us $400. So the TV program cost us $500. Is that the buzzer? That's the first one. I don't like it. And so we spent $500 on the TV program with its advertising. They gave us a billboard sign, full blown. They cost sometimes $1,600 a month. Typically, they're $900 a month. They gave us a billboard sign for $400 a month. So we had all that exposure on the billboard sign. We converted one person, and he's still with us, and he's still faithful. So we converted one person from the TV program. While we were doing the TV program, you get those sales papers, coupon papers in the mail. You know, they look like a little newspaper, and there's several pages. And so there's a name for this, and I don't want your mind to go in a negative place. I can't think of the proper name for it, but we had the opening of the centerfold of the paper, and it was full page on both sides. And so on one side, we promoted the TV program, and on the other side, we promoted the Bible correspondence course. And through that, we had a couple come on a Sunday, and just by that, I don't know that they ever watched the program. They didn't sign up for the Bible correspondence course. They just came to church. Boom, that's what we were looking for. And we ended up converting that couple from this. We did this for a year, once every 3 months. We spent probably $5,000, but we got one couple from it. You want to do evangelism, you don't have to spend a penny. In fact, here's, I think it's a true story. There's a group of Christians, whether they were the Lord's church, when I say Christians, quote unquote, they have a business meeting. They decide, we're going to set aside this much money for advertising. They go to an advertising agency and they say, we've got this budget. How can we spend this the most wisely to get people? No, that's not a buzzer. how can we spend? And the fella at the advertising agency did not hesitate. He said, get a billboard sign. Put it right out in front of the church building. Point it toward the parking lot and put up a sign that says, don't forget to invite someone this week. You want to hear that again? Point it toward the parking lot of the church. Put a sign on it, don't forget to invite someone this week. And so the idea, that's what works. You don't have to spend a penny. But if you want to, if you've only got 5-6 people in your congregation and you got to shake the bushes, you got to spend some money. And I would suggest, along with inviting people, set up an advertising budget. Spend some money, get some exposure in the community. This has worked. We've converted several people through these different efforts. Our most recent effort, and I got 2 minutes. Our most recent effort is what we're calling a roaming Bible study. We don't have Sunday evening Bible services, and so we decided we're going to do a roaming Bible, not Romans, a roaming Bible study. And so the idea is that we do it every other week, and so this time it's going to be at me and Penny's house. You would want to say Penny and I. That's not correct. It's going to be at me and Penny's house. And then next time it's going to be at Tucker and Sarah's house. And the next time it's going to be at Ken and Nancy's. And so it's roaming. It moves from house to house. And the Christians, it's for the Christians. It's edification. But guess what? The purpose of it is that we can all invite people to come to it. It's informal. And so we have a Bible study. We're going through Mark. We cover one chapter. I don't go into great detail. You're going to think, Ken, you can't do that. I know you. But I don't go into great detail. We cover a chapter a week. And then afterwards, we have a potluck. And so the brethren are loving it. We've had like 3 or 4 different visitors. We've just started this. We've had 3 or 4 different visitors. And the idea of this is more intimate. You invite the people you know. You invite the people you know. And when it's at your house, the people you know is probably going to feel more comfortable coming to your house than coming to my house. And so we're excited about this. It's off to a good start. And we're hoping we can convert some people from it. But again, we just have song, prayer, a Bible study, and then after it's over with, we have a potluck. And again, the brethren are loving it. So I would suggest that's another thing that you can do. And so with all of these efforts, I don't even know the number. We've converted several people, but some have fallen away. Some have moved. We still have some there worshiping with us. And so and so these are the cards that we use to invite people to the small group Bible study. I don't know if you can see that. I'm going to leave you several of them. And so on the back, it just says time, date, location, and contact, so that as it moves around from house to house, it's not printed. You get to write that in each time. Stop it. And then on the inside, it says benefits of small group Bible study, increase Bible knowledge, draw closer to God, build relationships, discussion encouraged, informal setting. Hope to see you there. And then we've got another one. design these. We got another one, has a different front, same back, and then same information, but on the inside. And for the older people that don't like this newer look to it, we got just a simple little small group Bible study card, same information on the back. So I'm going to leave these with you. You can use them if you like them. I can help you get some more of them if you want to use them. So this is what we're doing, and in doing that, we baptize several people. There's not a baptistry in the building, so we go out to a lake at a Bible camp there nearby us, and then they've also let us use the pool at the hotel. But recently, we got very, what's the word I want to use? It's nice. It's delicate. That's not the word I want to use. There's got to be some good word. The wordsmith that I am, I can't think of it. But we bought a cattle water tank. And we put it in the basement. We baptized a few people in that cattle water tank. And so we don't have to go back to the hotel or back to the lake. We do go to the lake. Some people like to be baptized in the lake. And so we do that if people want to. But again, so we've started the work. We were up to about 30. We had a rough year last year. We're back down to about 15. But we're not discouraged, because guess what? All this has worked, and it's going to work again. And we're going to try harder, and it's going to work better. So we are optimistic about the work. We're not discouraged by the rough year that we've had. And I ask you, please, remember us in your prayers. Prayer is effective. Thank you all.